What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.
This is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily Bloomberg iHeart podcast. And I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, managing editor of crypto for Bloomberg News. It's Wednesday, September 14th. It's Merge Week, and my colleagues David Pan, Olga Karif, and Dave Litka hosted a Twitter Spaces dedicated to the coming changes to the Ethereum blockchain. That Twitter Spaces happened on Monday, September 12th. We captured their discussion live, and for this episode, you'll hear highlights from their conversation.
Hi, this is Dave Litka. I'm a senior editor at Bloomberg News. We're going to talk about the Merge, which is the software update of the Ethereum blockchain network that is known as the Merge. Joining me to discuss what all this means are Olga Karif, who's in Portland, and David Pan, who's with me here in New York. So, Olga, what exactly is going to happen, and why should anyone care?
So basically, Ethereum is the most important commercial highway in crypto. This is where thousands of apps ranging from crypto exchanges to games live, and billions of dollars in value is being moved around here every single day. And what's going to happen is the way that transactions are ordered on Ethereum is going to change. So today, very sort of power intensive operations are happening to order transactions. A lot of electricity is being spent on this. And after the software upgrade, 99% of that energy spend will go away. And so Ethereum will become much more energy efficient and environmentally friendly. Otherwise, not much will change, but this upgrade will pave the way to additional upgrade that could make Ethereum faster and cheaper to use.
What are some of the, or are there any disadvantages here, I guess is the question.
You know, there are some people who say that perhaps Ethereum is not going to be as secure. It's not going to be as decentralized as it is today. But, you know, there are a lot of disagreements over this. So some people feel that way and others believe that this is not true.
David, there's been a, what you could really characterize as a multi-billion dollar industry that's cropped up around Ethereum to what we call mine. Ethereum right now, or Ether. What's going to change there?
Basically, I think the merge, one of the biggest implications for the merge is to boot off all these miners who have purchased billions of dollars worth of mining equipment for, you know, Ethereum mining. And it's certainly going to be a shock for at least the GPU market, you know, like a lot of the miners, they use GPUs to mine Ethereum. And at the same time, Ethereum mining services providers like the mining pools, they'll essentially stop the mining services as well. It's a really big ripple effect on the mining industry.
And Olga, just on a more basic level on it, is there any going back on this?
No, I don't think so. But there are some groups of Ethereum miners who are not okay with the change, and they are going to try and essentially split off or fork off Ethereum in its current state and with a few modifications, essentially continue to run the Ethereum blockchain using miners. It's not clear how much support such a Ethereum fork or perhaps multiple forks will gain. Already a couple of key participants in the ecosystem, such as Chainlink, which provides Oracle data for a lot of decentralized finance applications, and Circle, which supports USDC stablecoin, which is widely used in DeFi, So, for instance, they came out and said they will not support Ethereum forks. And that means that most decentralized finance applications, for instance, will be broken on the forked off chains. So, you know, it's not clear how much value and how much activity we will see on this chains. But if history be our guide, you know, in the past, some of these forks have sort of lingered on and done fairly well, although their value ended up being much smaller than the chain that they forked off from. So I suspect that Ethereum proof of stake, which is what Ethereum will be called after this software upgrade, will be much, much more valuable than any of the forks.
Is there any sense on who will be the biggest winner out of all this? Or is that even a way to kind of measure things?
I think sort of one way to think about it is if Ethereum is considered to be more environmentally friendly, then a lot of companies and investors that perhaps stayed away because they were worried about its environmental footprint might actually join the Ethereum ecosystem, either developing applications for it or investing in Ether or related coins. So I think that's probably, you know, the Ethereum ecosystem could benefit from it hugely if, again, the software upgrade goes off without a hitch, and that's a big if.
One thing I will add is, you know, like the centralized exchanges like Coinbase, who are providing staking services, I think they are among the biggest winners. You know, I think we reported previously that revenue generated from staking services at Coinbase is like one of the largest parts in their non-trade revenue, you know, as the trading fees are decreasing, you know, with more competition between exchanges and staking programs offered by exchanges. I think they are emerging to be a major revenue stream for exchanges like Kraken and Coinbase.
What is it going to mean for people who actually use the Ethereum blockchain? This is supposed to be a seamless transition to after the upgrade here, at least on the software aspect on it. How about from the user perspective?
In terms of the users on Ethereum, they will barely notice the changes. But I would say like the validators, the people who are replacing the miners, they have to do a lot of the work. They have to upgrade the software and sync the two layers, the consensus layer and also the execution layer. They have to make these two layers being upgraded and you know, simultaneously to make sure that, you know, there are as few missing blocks as possible during the process. So in terms of the user experiences, they won't notice that much.
With the movement away from miners to validators, it's a little bit of a power dynamic. Who are some of the big winners in this?
It's an interesting change because previously we had miners, and now we will have sort of three type of entities. They will be validators, which will stake coins to put transactions blocks into the blockchain, and there will be so-called block builders, which will take transactions, package them into blocks, and will send them on to validators via relays. And at this point, it looks like most builders are also relays. So at this point, we have sort of two new entities essentially appear to be in charge of ordering transactions on Ethereum. So they're builders, block builders, and validators. And we already know that there are thousands or tens of thousands of validators out there. What's interesting is that as of right now, there's just actually less than a handful of block builders out there. And so something that the industry is watching closely is to see, you know, will we see more competition among builders of blocks? Because this could be sort of a pain point in terms of centralization, potential centralization in Ethereum. And also, you know, potentially this could, if there are only just a few builders, these builders could have a lot of power over how transactions sort of happen on Ethereum. So this is one place that the industry is watching closely.
We'll be right back with more from Dave Litka, David Pan, and Olga Karif talking about the merge. You're hearing their voices from a Twitter Spaces that we held on Monday, September 12th.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
An interesting side note is Bitcoin. If the merge is successful and it does push Ethereum in the direction that you two have both talked about on it, what may be some of the consequences for Bitcoin?
I personally am not sure that there will be any consequences for Bitcoin. There will certainly be more pressure potentially to move it to proof of stake. But I think most of Bitcoin supporters just don't want to go there. They believe that proof of work is a superior system to proof of stake. They believe that it's been proven over the years, it's stable. And essentially the sentiment is, you know, it's as good as it's going to get and let's keep it the way it is. But I think what Ethereum's changes could do is most definitely push new blockchain development efforts to launch chains based on similar technologies. So I think proof of work is not something that developers of new chains are going to consider doing.
David, how about the political dynamic here?
I think Olga is absolutely right. You know, like people who firmly believe in Bitcoin, they do not buy in proof of stake. The flip side of proof of work for Bitcoin is the environmental concerns. And for example, a lot of countries in Europe, they were discussing about a plan to ban POW tokens, you know, tokens that are under the consensus mechanism of proof of work. Certainly, because of the transition to proof of stake for Ethereum, there could be less policy risks or regulatory risks, at least from the energy perspective.
How are you two tracking this, and how will we know?
There are a number of websites that are basically tracking the merge. Essentially, the exact timing of the merge will depend on sort of what's going on with mining support of the Ethereum network.
If the hash rate, you know, which is the computing power for the entire Ethereum network, drops significantly, if we see a very drastic drop, that also signals that, you know, the merge is nearing the end of the process.
I'd like to thank David Pan here in New York and Olga Karif in Portland for joining us on The Spaces. This is Dave Litka for Bloomberg News.
On the next episode of Bloomberg Crypto, we're going to talk about crypto gambling, specifically gambling for crypto on platforms like Twitch. Twitch is one of the most popular video streaming platforms anywhere in the world. And if you haven't heard of it, you've definitely heard of the company that owns it, Amazon. This is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Send us your comments, questions, or suggestions for the show to crypto@bloomberg.net or find us on Twitter. We're at crypto. The supervising producer of Bloomberg Crypto is Vicky Vergolina. Our senior producer is Janet Babin. Our producer is Sharon Bariro. Associate producer is Ty Butler. Desta Wonderad is our engineer. Original music by Leo Sidran. I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons. This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.